Your advice, listen. Now, today I want to talk about a topic today. This little bit of untrod waters. Try to go through this the best that we can. What I started to prepare, which really turned into a didn't work out too well. Being that this week is Parshas Korach, it's interesting that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's very intriguing, and on Rosh Hashanah, before we blow shofar, there's a minhag Yisrael to recite Mizmor Lamatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor. Okay, so this is Mizmor Mem Zayin. Mem Zayin. Many shuls, as far as I know, I have in front of me over here the Art Scroll Machsa. This is the melting pot of America, maybe the world. Is in most congregations, everyone recites the following psalm 7 times. Okay, so you're all familiar, say this. I always have a hard time, and I don't know how to count. I always get mixed up. I don't know if anyone has that problem. Probably all of you don't have that problem. I have a hard time counting to 7. I always get confused. I use my fingers, to make sure I say it exactly 7 times. And can you hear me? The microphone working? Can you hear me? Michal, can you hear me?
Waiting for the stand to calm down.
Let's try this again. All right, is it any better now? Is it okay?
Let go of that. And then.
How about now? Okay, now,
yeah,
it's okay. Okay, so we say this 7 times. Who is one who instituted that we say this 7 times? The Arizal. We cannot even begin to imagine how much influence the Kabbalah have over us. Half the things that we do in the davening are all, Kabbalah. And it's really amazing how many of us are anti-Kabbalah people, rationalists, and yet the world of Kabbalah has really overtaken us in many, many ways. And here we are on Rosh Hashanah, and right before we come to the mitzvah Hayoyim of Tkiyas Shofar, the whole Klal Yisrael is saying Lamatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor 7 times. Okay, there are a lot of Ramazim. I don't know how much of them there are. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I didn't really pay much attention to all the esoteric elements of the Mizmor. And is a shayla if you're allowed to say it? Or have Dr. Cohen, why? Why is that a shayla if you're allowed to say it? Okay.
So according to the Gra, I believe Tircha Tzibura prohibits any additions to the Tfilas Keva.
So the Gra disagreed. The Gra did not say Lamatzeach.
Absolutely not.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So Harav Dr. Cohen is telling us that Harav Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen Shlita gets all these very brilliant insights. Always. He says that the Vilna Gaon objected to the recital of Lamatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor
or any addition
into the Nusach HaTzel, because it's built based upon the Chazal that says they wanted to institute that we should read the parish of Balak, all of the blessings that Balak uttered of Yeruch HaKodesh at the time when he was really trying to curse Klal Yisrael, and Hashem put into his peh Baracha. They wanted to include that in the Nusach HaTzfilah for Birchais Kriyas Shema, because there in part of what Bilam said was alludes. There's a pasuk there about rising up like a lion. I don't remember the pasuk about Per. I don't remember the pasuk about Per. Kari Yisnasa. Okay, there's a pasuk there that alludes to Kriyas Shema. So that pasuk alludes to Kriyas Shema, and they felt that it would be appropriate to add, to embellish the Birchais Kriyas Shema with the recital of all of the psukim, the entire parish of the Brachais that Bilam recited, and it was rejected. It was voted down. Why? Tircha de Tzibura. It would be a tirch. It's for the average person. It's too much. You have to have a policy that can be done acceptable by the majority of Klal Yisrael. It would be too much. That the Gra learns, as Rav Dr. Shlomo Cohen is teaching us, is a binyan av. is the makar for the entire Nusach HaTfilah. Anything that is in Tfilah that was not traditional, that was not instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, it is a violation of this vote, of this halacha. It's not just limited to the parsha of Bilam. When Bezdin, when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah rejected this idea, they were rejecting for all generations any addition to the Nusach HaTfilah that was not part of the original Nusach that was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. What the Arizal came how many hundreds of years, 1,000 years at least? More, 1,500, the Arizal.
500 years?
From the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, more than 1,500 years since the Anshei Knesset Devoto to institute something like this into the Nusach HaTfilah is going against their wishes. And that is why the Groy is saying does not say it. Okay, very interesting. Now, most of Klal Yisrael, I think they do say it. It's very funny. I daven many years. I still do sometimes in the Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. And there's a very big mistake. People have this misunderstanding that they follow the Nusach HaGro. It is a total fake news. They have very limited, selected minhagim from the Gro that they observe. And what they really do is they follow the Nusach of Eretz Yisrael. It's not really the Gro. Eretz Yisrael was very much influenced by the Talmidei HaGro, at least the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenaz community was established primarily by the Talmidei HaGro. And they establish a certain Nusach, and a lot of that Nusach is actually what they do in the Yeshiva. And there I can tell you they say Lam Natzeach. They do say Lam Natzeach. They do not follow the Gra in this respect.
Veloshin, they didn't say it.
Veloshin, they did not say it.
No.
They did not say it. Okay, very good. And so I'm just saying, this is a very... But this is something. The question is why? Why
did...
That's why they did not say it. That's why they did not say it. I understand. Correct. That's right. That's what I'm saying. But most of Klal Yisrael does say it. It's extremely common amongst us here. Everyone says it. They say it 7 times. The Shliach Tzibur finishes it off with a very beautiful Nusach in some kihilos. And why? Why? Why are we saying this Mizmar right before we blow Shofar? So the simplest answer, okay? The simplest answer that is given is because it's reminding us it's never too late to do Teshuvah. The moment when the shofar is sound is the moment of din. That's our tradition. These are, you know, we don't know what goes on in Shemayim, but we have a tradition that it's the Yom HaDin, and the Yom HaDin, everything is decided for the next year, and not only for the next year, for going forward. There's a major thing that's being decided in Shemayim, it's the time of din, and many of us would feel that, you know, it's too late. Too little, too late. If we're holding here now before the shofar, and we did not do teshuvah in Chodesh Elul, we did not do teshuvah, you know, gearing up for this moment. So, you know, just relax. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. Incorrect. That is wrong. Look at the Bnei Korach. The earth opened up. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. And somehow they were able to hold on to a ledge. Some type of some ledge, some area they could stand and hold on to, and while they were holding on to that makom, they were maharher b'teshuva. They did teshuva, and we have a tradition that the teshuva included the ideas, or maybe the words. This is all very esoteric of what is captured in this mizmar. Seemingly, they wrote this mizmar. David HaMelech did not write this mizmar. David did not the Rokech. A lot of the Rokech is very heavy into this type of stuff. Who wrote what? And they say the Bnei Korach. These words are not from David. David did not write. David included this in Tehillim. David did not write this. David, this Tefillah LeMoshe, Ishur Elokim. Moshe wrote his Mizmar for Shabbos Chodesh. We have other Mizmarim. There are 11 Mizmarim in Tehillim that were not written by David HaMelech. And it tells us who the author is. The author is written right there in the beginning of the Mizmar. Who wrote that Mizmar? Yeah. And here is a Mizmar that was not written by David. Did David edit it? I don't know. But this primarily came from Korach. And they said this at the moment when they saw the fires of Gehenim beneath them about to swallow them up. What exactly happened to them? I don't know. There are various midrashim that tell us what their fate was, but this was what they said at the moment when the earth swallowed them up. And this is an inspiration for us. Although we're now holding right before the shofar is about to be blown, don't think we can be any worse than Bnei Korach. Bnei Korach were part of a horrible rebellion against the greatest of the great of Moshe Rabbeinu, and even they, at the very last moment, were able to do teshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted their teshuva. So how much more so, no one in this world today can ever reach a level of wickedness like what they tried to do to Moshe Rabbeinu, how much more so is it possible for us, the very last moment, to do teshuva and achieve some very great results. That's the very simple pshat. L'matzeach l'vnei Korach mizmar. Now, the next thing that's very interesting about this mizmar is the Bnei Korach, they become globalists. Is that the right word, Rabbi Chol? Globalists. You know, we live in America, there's this big debate about, is America a private country, or is America part of the globe? The globe, the whole world. Open up the borders, give away all the money. It's open for the world. America is a country of immigrants. It's a makom of hefkeros. Or is America, you know, private property? Put up a fence around the country. Put up walls and don't give away all the money. And preserve a culture, a language, a unique set of values. And anyone who wants to join the country has to follow the rules. Okay, so this is a very big debate that is raging in the country, which I need not elaborate upon. And when we look at, we use the springboard to understand Klal Yisrael, what are we? How do we look at ourselves? Do we look at ourselves as a little shtetl, a little ghetto? It's just all about us and the whole world can go rat? Or do we look at us as being part of the bigger picture, part of the world? Do we look at us isolated and then there's a world? There are two separate things. There's a responsibility that we have to the world. It's very complicated. Okay, it's a very complicated mix of studying the Nusach HaTzilah, studying the Torah, the role of Mashiach. What is our perspective? Are we here to share the wealth with the world? To share our emunah with the world? Obviously, there are Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Do we want everyone to observe? Is it our mission to make sure that the whole world observes Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach? Is it our mission just to mind our own business? If someone wants to join us, then we tell them you have two choices. Either you become a full-fledged Geret Tzedek or you observe Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach. It's very complicated. What is our responsibility to the entire world? So they are conflicting Mamari Chazal. There are conflicting tefillos that touch upon this issue. And this certainly is a big, big topic. Just the fact that Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei and is not in Nisan itself speaks volumes about the Yom HaDin. We would expect that if the world was created if in the Torah it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh Rishu Lachem L'Chodesh Hashanah. So if the world has been recreated with us, and we live in our own little isolated shtetl, we know that the whole world is just Flappish and Bar Park. Maybe we'll let Lakewood have a part. We'll give them a seat at the table. But if the whole world is about us, why then are we celebrating Rosh Hashanah and focusing on Yom HaDin on Tishrei? Tishrei is the day for the Umay Sa'olam. When you want to calculate the dates, the years that a melech from the Umay Sa'olam has been in place, you follow Tishrei. If a king has been appointed, the President of the United States came into office before Aleph Tishrei, that means he would now be 2 years in office. If he came into office after Aleph Tishrei, that means he's only in his first year of office. That's Chazal. Chazal, they don't care when they come into office. They have their own way of calculating his reign, his and that goes from Tishrei. The Yom HaDin for the entire world is on Aleph Tishrei. The Nusach of Rosh Hashanah more and more, over and over, focuses on the entire world. Kol boya oilam yavrum lefanav. It says in davening, the entire world passed before Kadosh Baruch Hu on this day. Not just us. There's very little emphasis about that uniqueness of Klal Yisrael in the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah. The whole Nusach of Rosh Hashanah is all about the big picture, the whole world. And this Mizmar really goes to town. There's probably almost no Mizmar in the whole Tehillim that is more globalistic. Okay? That's a bigger globalist than the B'nai Karach. They were globalists. What would they say if they came to America? They would be Democrats. They would give away the country. Lamat Seach Livnei Karach Mizmar. Call the first opening line after they establish their authorship. After they take possession of this Mizmar, they say, Kol Ha'amim Tikku Chof. All of the nations of the world shall hold hands. Obviously, they did not practice social distancing in those days. What? Yes, they were Levim.
Okay, so you might
say Levim. Kol Ha'amim, all of the nations of the world, Tikku Chof, which means hold hands. Chof means a hand. The palm of your hand. Tikku means thrust it.
Tikki Askaf.
So it means thrust it, hold hands. Today they would never say that. Don't keep your hands to yourself. Okay? But Tikku Chof, everyone should hold hands across America. Everyone should join together. Harilu Elokim b'kol mino, ki Hashem Elyon, Hashem is the most high Noira. And here, look at these words now. Melech Godol al kol ha'aretz. The entire world. Yad, now here is something that, now here they switch gears. Here they say something very powerful. The B'nai Karach, as they're about to go into Gehenna. Yad ber amim tachteinu. It may very well be that the world, Hashem is the Melech al kol ha'aretz, but who's in charge? We're the boss. We're the boss. There's a very interesting, delicate balance between globalism and, what's the other word?
Sovereignty.
Private sovereignty. Yad ber amim tachteinu. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may he, here they translate in the art scroll to lead. See, other translations have more of a more. This is a very, very politically correct translation. If you really want to, lay it on thick, it would be they should humble. They should humble nations before us, bow before us. It's a very politically correct translation. Yadber, Amim, nations should be led. Okay, I'm very surprised they actually used that translation. Yadber, you know, you have to be very careful who they're writing for.
Is that how they
translate? Lead. They translate the word Yadber to mean lead. Lead. The nations lead. He shall lead nations under us. Okay, I'm not arguing, but I always have felt that the word Yadber. Yadber has. I always thought it meant more a more powerful. Hashem should humble nations before us.
No, it sounds like, you know, like we give the orders.
Okay, right. Okay, they have a very delicate translation. Ulu umim tachas ragleinu. Nations, regimes should be beneath our feet. That doesn't sound too nice no matter how you translate it. We're going to step on them. Who's the boss here? Okay, let's establish law and order. Then we talk about the, here we mentioned the true Hashem will ascend to a true Hashem b'kol gadol Hashem b'kol shofar zanulik, and then sing to Hashem zanul malchim zaneru ki melech. Again we come back to this ki melech kol aretz elokim. Hashem is the king over the entire world. Zanul maskil, make music, O enlightened one. Who's the maskil? Who's the maskil over here in the commentary? I don't even know.
That's interesting, because maskil is usually the leader, the conductor, right? In Tehillah. But here
it means in the art scroll notes, he writes the maskil means every single person. Each individual person here is called the person of comprehension. Here he learns the word maskil to mean the man of comprehension. Everyone should make music according to his understanding of Hashem. Everyone sings their own song. Everyone composes their own melody, their own song to give shira to Hashem. Here we're calling every single person a maskil. Okay, then Molach l'kimal kol goyim. Again, we go back to the globalism, to the theme. Molach Hashem has ruled over the nations. Elokim Yashval Kisei Kodesh. Nidivei Amim Nesafil. The nobles of the nations. Like all about the nations. Now here we come to another very unique expression. Am Elo Nesafil. Am Elokei Yaakov. Gathered, all of the nations of the world are coming, are gathering to who? To the nation that is the God of Avraham. Interesting. Avraham. Not Yaakov. Avraham, you know, it's interesting because Avraham is also the God of Yishmael and the God of Esav. What? Okay.
Then they add a word.
Am Elokei Avraham.
Nidivei Amin. They said before God, right? That's what they're saying.
Okay, well, this, whatever it is.
It's a tricky one.
It's very tricky. Ki Elokim Magine Eretz Ma'od Na'aloh. Hashem is the protector. It's very beautiful. We say Avraham. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham. Every time we find Avraham, it will automatically follow with the word shield. Mogein Avraham. Once we mention Am Elokei Avraham, we then mention Ki Elokim to Hashem is the Moginei Eretz. Hashem protects this world from people destroying it. Allah Hashem is exceedingly exalted. Okay, I don't have to go through every single word, but the point of view, we finished the Mizmar.
But Avraham is the discoverer, right? So then the nations have their own discovery.
They all relate to Avraham in that respect, to be a maskil, to appreciate the Shvarach. Absolutely. So in essence, what is this Mizmar all about? It's all about globalism. But who's the boss? Klal Yisrael is the boss. It's extremely inclusive, extremely. All the nations are participating in coming to acknowledge the Hoya Hashem Lemelech al Kol Haaretz. Bayamu Hu Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. But make sure you understand clear and well who is the leader of the nations.
You know,
Am Yisrael.
Everyone is created equal, but some are more equal than others.
You got it. Perfect. Everyone is created equally. But some are more equal than others. Klal Yisrael, they are more equal than others. That's exactly what it says here in this Mizmar. So what's the obvious question? And I don't have an answer. I don't have a good answer for you. I'm sure the Mefarshim will speak about this. You learn this week's parasha, and you learn about Vayikach, Korach, all out of the blue, out of nowhere. Vayikach, Korach. Korach comes with not just him. He comes with the whole Chevra. Ben Yitzhak and Kazanli, the Dosan Vavim, they're always there on the Ash. Dosan Vavim, they always make their cameo appearance. They always have to show up there to make trouble. Oyin Ben Pelas, where did this guy get involved? Some Nebuchal, he came, he got suckered into this whole thing. And 250 people show up and they say, Moshe, you know, we think it's time for you to step down. Okay, it's time for you to step down. And they start a rebellion. And Moshe says to them, tomorrow come with your Ketores, and we're going to see if Hashem really wants to select you. How dare you, what a chutzpah. And then Moshe's mispal to Hashem, don't accept their Ketores. Hashem, open up the earth and swallow these evildoers, obliterate them off the face of the earth. They come the next day, is exactly what happens, the earth opens up, they get swallowed up, and these few fellows over here, the Bnei Korach, they miraculously land on a ledge before they go into the fires of Gehenna, and they start saying this incredible mizmar. Someone says, wait, let me get my digital recorder. Throw in the digital recorder, catch it. One of them, they catch it, and no, now, Zog, say your brilliant words. We want to preserve for posterity. And they say, Lamatzeach, Livnei Korach, mizmar. They said it seven times. And then they finished. And they throw up the digital recorder, they throw it up, and someone, Mayor Appledorf, the Levi, he catches it, and then the earth swallows them up. Goodbye. The end. And what do they say? They talk about the whole wide world. What?
They were not swallowed.
That's a shiloh, if they were or not. That's not so simple if they were not so or not. They said these words on they said these words on the ledge, but it's not so simple. They were saved. I don't know. You have to see the midrashim. Not so clear. I think it could be the whatever. Leave with that. Question. This is what they're saying. You would think they would be saying Moshe Emes, V'Toyrosay Emes, Aaron HaKoyein is the Kohen Gadol, is the Tzaddik. We have to bring us the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. We said Lashon Hara. This is shocking. This is what they're talking about the Kiyas Shofar. They're talking about all the nations of the world. Who cares about the nations of the world? This. They committed a very specific. This was domestic politics. This is not foreign policy here. This, who is the president? Who is the leader? Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the leader. Moshe, step down. We have a replacement. We have Korach. Korach is more handsome. He's a better speaker. He's more polished. We want Korach. We want you to step down. There's more money. That's the ikur. Moshe Rabbeinu has more money in his bank account than you do. We want Korach. Step down. What does this have to do with Australia, with China, with Indonesia? Call Ha'amin, Pakistan, who cares about this? What's going on over here? Talking about globalism. You have nothing better to do now when you're about to be swallowed up because you rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu? There's something over here. Something over here does not add up. It really doesn't add up. What is going on? They have nothing better to say. So how would you explain this? I should have an answer. I'm just trying to bring out the good. It always bothered me this, and I don't have an answer. Maybe by the time we finish, we'll have an answer. And why am I telling this to you? Because part of when I was trying to prepare this, and I got a little sidetracked, is Aleinu L'Shabeach kept on making an appearance in all of this material. Because there's another prayer that we say every single day, three times a day, that was also not composed by David HaMelech. He's not the only composer of David HaMelech. There's another Shira. The Rakeach calls Aleinu L'Shabeach, he calls it the Shir HaShirim of all Shiras. I mean, I don't know the exact words. It's a very dangerous thing to say, obviously, because the same way you don't want to go call, you don't call Brooklyn the Ir HaTayr, you don't call Lakewood the Ir HaKodesh, because I have it over here, I have to show you. He writes a few times. I can't run the page right now. The Rakeach is very into Aleinu, and he calls it the ultimate song, the Shir HaShirim, and it was composed by who? What is the tradition? It was composed by Yehoshua. How do we know? Because he signed his name in it. He actually signed his name. How did he sign his name? He signed it backwards, out of humility. There are how many verses? I think five. Let me show you. The first, the Aleinu, Ayin. What's the Ayin? Hoshea. We're going to go backwards now. Hoshea. The last letter of Hoshea is Ayin. Then we go. That's the first sentence. Aleinu l'shabech l'avinu kol haseis k'dudah liyotzei b'reishis shloi osamik v'yei horatzot v'lo zmenu k'mishkos v'adama. Period. Art school did put a period for us. Thank you. Shloi. Shin. Shloi sam chelkeinu kam gogi kol nam sheimishach. Kol nam sheimishach. No v'gum esam lo yoshia. V'anachnu kodim mishach madum l'fein deoch mochem ha-kodesh baruch hu. That's the second sentence. A long run-on sentence. The third sentence is. Anyway. Hoshaya, who Elokeinu Einod, Emes Malkeinu Efes Lazok Hakasibus Soroso Viyadat. No, Hosh what Yud? Ho, no Yosh, no. Vayikamosha Lehoshaya Benun Yehoshua. Yoshua was an honorific name. Yoshua was the honorific name. His real name was Hoshaya. Yoshua Benun, he signed his name into Aleinu backwards. There are Ho, He, Vav, Shin, Ayin. Hoshea has four letters in his name. He, Vav, Shin, Ayin. There are four sentences in the first half of Aleinu. The last sentence begins with a hey. Hu Elokeinu Ein Od. Emes Malkeinu Efes Zuloso Kakasubasuraso. And we have a pasuk to prove it. That's the first pasuk. The second pasuk, going backwards, is Va'anachnu Koirim Mishach Modim Fe Melch Malchim Malch Makalos Baruch Hu. That's the second sentence. The third sentence going backwards is Sheloi Sam Chelkeinu Kohen Vegorlenu Kol Hamanon. And the first sentence is Oleinu. So Yehoshua ben, and this is what the Rokeach writes this. The Rokeach lived a long, long time ago, and the Rokeach knew his stuff. He doesn't need my introduction. And thus, this was composed by Yehoshua. When did he compose this? When they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And he witnessed the miracles of coming into the land. Now, here's what's very interesting. This blew my mind. If Yehoshua composed this, Yehoshua was a Navi. He was a prophet. Okay, is he counted among the 48 prophets? I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. He is. There's no question. Yehoshua is, you know, part of the Messiah. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai Mosro Li Yehoshua. Okay, he's up there. He's up there. If B'nai Koirach, the B'nai Koirach, these people were evildoers. Okay, the axis of evil. Remember those days? The axis of evil. These were evildoers. They went up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Emes V'Toyrosai Emes. Moshe went to Shemayim to bring down the Torah. If the B'nai Korach were able to be memorialized with their words being part of the Sifrei Nevi'im, David took the digital recorder, he listened to what they said, and he wrote it down, and he put it in the Siddur. And then someone came along and plagiarized the Siddur, made it into Tehillim. Okay, they put the words of B'nai Korach are part of Kisuvim. Torah, Nevi'im, Kisuvim. If you get into Kisuvim, this is the majors. You made it. You made it to the top. It doesn't get better than this. This is the codex. I mean, this is the real deal. We're not dealing over here with the Apocrypha. We're dealing with the real stuff here. Torah, Nevi'im, Kisuvim. B'nai Korach. These guys, you know, they were trouble, big trouble. And they made. So Yehoshua, v'loy mosh mitoicha oihel, the heliko Yehoshua ben Nun, v'yikre moshe l'oshea ben Yehoshua, the heliko Yehoshua ben Nun, if he composed a shira to Hashem to commemorate Eretz Yisrael, he couldn't get in to the Ksuvim. We can't have over here Lamatzeach Li Yehoshua Mizmor Oleinu Lishabeach Ladoin Akoil Laseis Gidulol Yotzeh Bereshis. Why didn't Yehoshua's Shira enter into the Divrei Kisuvim?
He doesn't make the cut on a number of instances.
Like what?
The Ushpizin. Yeah.
Alright, so he's doing the Bnei Korach. I never saw someone that may give a seat to the B'nai Korach, to be the Ushpizin, the B'nai Korach.
No, I'm talking about Yehoshua. He doesn't make the cut.
So he doesn't make the cut. So, okay, these words are a Shira. What, if B'nai Korach, how come it was not incorporated into this Nusach?
There's a whole Nusach about Yehoshua. The whole thing,
you can create it. Who wrote Sefer Yehoshua? The Gemara says. Shmuel, I don't even think he wrote it. It's more historical. What happened, what it says in Sefer Yehoshua is more historical. It's not a message. I mean, we learn from it, obviously, but it's an historical account of what happened in Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't the words of Aleinu enter into Sefer, into one of the Megillos in Tehillim, somewhere in our Sifrei Kesuvim? You'll say to me that it's not exactly what Yehoshua wrote. What we have today, it could very well be that what we have today is an embellishment. Some will tell you that the Nusach of Aleinu, they don't want to accept that what it says in Sefer Yehoshua is mila b'mila what Yehoshua composed. There are mafarshim that will tell you that Yehoshua, he composed the essence, and over the years of Golus, the last 3,000 years, somehow it was altered just slightly. Okay, so, but it should have been preserved in Ksuvim, the essence of Aleinu. Why? What happened here? So the answer the Rokeach gives, maybe it's not the Rokeach, I'm telling you what I saw, I'm just telling you bits and pieces from different sources. One of the things is from the Sefer called Vayivarech David.
Exactly.
And the answer I saw was something very, very fascinating, which really made an impression on me, and that is the essence of Yehoshua, his essence. I'm getting tangled here in a lot of wires here. One second, please. A lot of wires, so Frankenstein here. I don't know what happened over here. The answer is, the essence of Yehoshua is Torah Shebal Peh. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Umosro Yehoshua. This is a very fascinating, this answer is blew my mind, more than the question. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, we have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Moshe came down from Shemaim, he gave us the Torah. When we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, what do we talk about? Moshe represents Torah Shebichsav. Who is Torah Shebal Peh? Rabbi Akiva. He's a newcomer. Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu, we have the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim and Mad Torah, and he saw Hashem was tying crowns to the Oisiyos, and Moshe said to Hashem, "What are you doing?" So Hashem says to Moshe, there's going to be a person in many generations from now that will doyresh tal talim shel halachas regarding each one of these crowns. So Moshe says, let me see him. Let me see this person. Time machine in Atara Minayim. Hashem put him in a time machine and took him to the generation of Rabbi Akiva, and he sat down in his class. You know, in that class, you know what happened in that class? The Gemara tells us. Everyone fell asleep. The shiur was boring. That's what it says. The shiur was, it was boring. Hashem was, I want to see the shiur. Go to the shiur. Fine, here you are. Put you in the time machine. You come out of the time machine. Sits down in the shiur. Everyone falls asleep. Rabbi Akiva was very upset. Everyone's sleeping. So he tells them about Sari Imenu. Why was Sari Zeiche to rule over 127 provinces? Why was she supposed to live? Esther. Why was Esther Zoyche to rule over 127 provinces? Yes, I'm telling you they're connected. You have a right to say they're connected. Why not? You can make it up as you go along. Why not? I'm sure someone will tell you that it was connected. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Shirin. They only know about a few of the Shirin. Don't we have a right to assume whatever Chazal tell us? And they have the 18 things. But on that one fateful day, they were going to Yud Ches Dvarim. There are 180 things that were going to part of that one. That be Oysa Hayom on that day. And that share. So he woke them up by telling them, what did he tell them on that day? That if you know, why was Esther to rule over 120 of his provinces? Because she was the daughter, the Enoch, the descendant of Sarah, who lived for 127 years. Every moment counts. And then when they all woke up, what did he tell them? He was Doyresh, the Kisrei Oisiyos. And Moshe was watching the Shir, and he didn't understand one word. Not one word. So Moshe says to Hashem, I don't understand one word he's talking about. I don't make it. So Hashem, just listen. Just behave yourself and listen. And at the end, Rabbi Akiva said, all of this is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Moshe got an honorable mention. Doesn't answer the question, and it still doesn't explain how he understood what he said. The whole Gemara needs a lot of hezer. Whatever it is, then Hashem said, give the Torah through him. Why do you need me? So give the Torah through Rabbi Akiva. Okay, the Gemara has a whole discussion there, whatever it is. But the point is, Rabbi Akiva is always viewed in Chazal as being the greatest, the father of Torah Shebal Peh, the promoter. He is the poster child. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Okay, but the truth is, although Rabbi Akiva is the one that promoted Torah Shebal Peh, he became an icon of Torah Shebal Peh, but Moshe Rabbeinu had to transmit it throughout all the generations in order to get to Rabbi Akiva. And all of that started with who? Yehoshua. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. He wrote down the Chamishe Chumshe Torah and he put it in the Aron HaKodesh. Open up the Aron HaKodesh in your shul. That is Moshe Rabbeinu's gift to you. Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebal Peh, that wasn't given to you directly. That was handed down from generation to generation, and Moshe selected one very specific person to be the channel of Torah Shebal Peh, and that is Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun is the real icon, the real dogma of Torah Shebal Peh. Mimela, everything about Yehoshua ben Nun is bedafka, not in writing. Chazal said that if not for, I forgot, the averus that we've committed, there would never have been any of the Nevi'im written. The only thing that we would have would be Chamisha Chumshei Torah v'Sefer Yehoshua. What? Sefer Yehoshua? Why Sefer Yehoshua? What's so special about Sefer Yehoshua? If you were given a test, you're going to a desert island, you can take with you only one of the Sifrei Nach. I guarantee you no one would take with them Yehoshua. They would take something else. They'll take Megillas Esther. They would take Sefer Yeshaya. They would take Sefer Shmuel. Why would you take Yehoshua? It's not very exciting. It's historical. It describes the Gevulos Haaretz. I mean, a lot of the Mefarshim, they really sweat. They sweat to explain why is it that Chazal say that if not for the fact that Klal Yisrael was nichshol in doing Averos, it would not have been necessary for us to have the Chof Dalet Sifrei Nach. All we would need is the Chamishei Chumshei Torah v'Sefer Yehoshua. That is critical to this world, Sefer Yehoshua. What? Why Sefer Yehoshua? The answer is so simple. Because Yehoshua is Torah Shebal Peh. In the Sefer Yehoshua, although it's in writing, it captures Yehoshua's faithfulness to the Torah Shebal Peh of the Torah. Everything Yehoshua ben Nun did in Sefer Yehoshua is to preserve Torah Shebal Peh. Chamishei Chumshei Torah is Torah Shebichsav, and Yehoshua is Torah Shebal Peh. The whole essence of Yehoshua is Baal Peh. Thus, the song of Yehoshua could not be put in writing. Because if it was put in writing, that makes it in Torah Shebichsav. Lamnatzeach livnei koirach mizmor is Torah Shebichsav. It's part of the Bible. It's in writing. It's in Tehillim. It's in Tehillim, in the Ksuvim. Yehoshua is Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, it's awesome. You're not allowed to put it in writing. Even though today, Eis Last Lashem, we put it in writing, but it's not part of the real writing. It's a song that has been passed down. It's an amazing idea. It has been passed down to Klal Yisrael from the time of Yehoshua, that's not in writing. It is the purest, one of the purest forms of Torah Shebal Peh that we actually say every single day, coming from the man himself who was the icon of Torah Shebal Peh. That's what Aleinu is. It's incredible. Now, maybe we're coming to an answer for Korach. What does it say in Aleinu? You want to do a line-by-line analysis? It's almost plagiarism. It's exactly the same thing. Not exactly, but it's I shouldn't say, it really touches upon the same themes as Lamnatzeach livnei koirach mizmar. Aleinu lishrech la'adoin ha'kol. We describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is, he is the adoin ha'kol, the master globalism.
The universal God.
The whole davening is all about that us. You know, it's all about us. Reifei choylei amo Yisrael. The Shemona Esrei is all about Baruch Aleinu Hashem et Hashem as this Kol Nesvu. So the same Baruch al Pnei Hu Adama. What's the Adama? Adama refers V'sabeinu mituva, according to the Gra, Eretz Yisrael. Tekab b'shoifer Gadol Cheristeinu us. Look through the Nusach, the Avoda. The whole Shemona Esrei, the climax of Tefillah, is all about us. It's a very private, prayer. And then when we come to the very end of davening, we shift gears, and we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the whole world. He is the Adon HaKol, the universal God. L'seis gedula li'yotzer b'reishis, he is the creator of the world. Since when are we so concerned about the world? Davening is all about Eretz Yisrael, it's about Flappish and Bar Park and Lakewood, it's all about us. It's local politics. Shloya Sana, then we acknowledge that, no, don't get too comfortable with the Goyim, because the Goyim are troublemakers. Okay, there's a lot of trouble out there. Shloya Sanu ki Goyei Horat Tzoyts V'lo Osmanu ki Meshpachos Horomo. We thank Hashem not making us like them. Even though Hashem is the universal God, but we don't want to be one of them. They bow down to Avodah Zarah. Here are all the allusions to Christianity and to Islam. Again, Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shum Not HaShemayim V'Yoyis Eretz Moshe Amikah B'Hashemayim Al HaShachim Zod Gav Amim Hu Elokeinu Enod Enes Malkeinu Efes Loso. There's no one else. It touches upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech over the entire world.
Don't forget the Sakein Olam, which has been hijacked.
Tikkun Olam, we want that. Tikkun Olam.
They always forget the rest of the sentence.
Right, that's a whole discussion. Tikkun Olam, the Sakein Olam. How do you spell the Sakein? This big topic of discussion. The Sakein Olam, is it spelled with a Tav or with a Chaf? We won't spend a lot of time on that. How do you spell L'sakein Olam? With a Tav, Tikkun, to fix the world.
What does it mean,
L'kuf? With a Tav Sakana. Means L'sakein with a Tav.
L'takein.
Tikkun, to fix. If the car doesn't work, you bring it to the mechanic. The world is broken. You bring it back to the mechanic. Is that the correct? That's the gears that we have now. What do we have now in this over here? The sack with the tough. But it appears that the more authentic nusois is with a chaf. And the word I'm getting confused now. Okay, let's put this. Leave this for the moment. There's a very different topic. Let's put it aside for one moment. Now let's go to the next part of Aleinu. The next part of Aleinu is Al Kein Nikav Alecha. It's not the stuff. It's the Kuf. L'sakein, and that's another thing. It's Lamed Saf. Everyone has a Saf. I'm sorry. Then it's Kuf Nun. Is it with a Kuf or a Chaf? A Kuf means to fix. A chaf means to establish. To establish the world. The world is not broken. Whoever told the world is broken? The world is fine. The world just needs to be put in order. There's nothing broken about the world. The real gear so that it appears is not l'sakein with a kuf, it's with a chaf. L'sakein olam b'malchus shakai, to establish the world in the malchus of Hashem. What we have in our Siddur is with a Kuf. And the Kuf means to fix the world. The world's not broken. The world has to be established in the Malchus of Hashem. And this is a big topic, not for now. Now let's go to the second part of Aleinu. This is very, very important. Who wrote the second part of Aleinu?
Ochanan.
Oh, so this is very controversial. So Rasora Mordechai bin Stak says Ochan, and the Rosh Tavis in the first words, Al Kain Nikave. Another sinner. Now we had the B'nai Koirach, and now we have Ochan. Ochan committed a horrific crime. He is responsible for the death of Osniel ben Kenaz, who was the Gadol Hadar. His neshama, Chazal say, was kneged the majority of the Sanhedrin. It says in the Pasuk, 36 men died in the battle of Ai. So Rashi says two perushim. Either means literally 36 men died, and then Rashi cites a second perushim, means one person died. One person by the name of Osniel ben Kenaz, whose neshama was equivalent to the majority of the Sanhedrin of 70 people. It says Sanhedrin has 70 men, the majority of 70 is 36. We're dealing with the Gedolei Yisrael. Why did he die? Because one man sinned. Ochan is the cause of his death. Ochan, what did he do? He took a garment, he took a couple of bucks. He took from the spoils of Yerichai a few dollars. And because he violated the Cherem, that's why he died. So Yoshua said to him, confess. Confess and make a Kiddush Hashem. I'm going to make a Goyrol. The girl is going to decide. V'chulu v'chulu. And the end was he confessed. And he was put to death. And before he died, they gave him the same digital recorder.
They passed around that
digital recorder. And he composed Al Kain Nikav L'Chashem L'Kain L'Rath Mir B'Sefer Sozecha. And the Rosh HaTevis is Ayin Chaf Nun is Ochon. He put his name in the first three words. Now, same bizarre concept. Ochon now committed a private sin. He took a couple of bucks. He violated the Chem of Yehoshua. And here the conquering Eretz Yisrael. This is not about the world. Okay? It's not about the world. It's like I told you the story many times of driving someone to a wedding, driving an electric car. And we stop somewhere. And the guy comes out and says, oh, I see, very nice, you have an electric car. You care about the environment. And I said, I couldn't care less about the environment. I'm in this car because I need a ride to Lakewood. That's why I'm in the car. It has nothing to do with the environment. This was the only ride I can get. He happens to have an electric car. Who cares about the environment? Okay, I'm not, whatever. All of a sudden, Ochan is concerned about the whole wide world. What? You committed a sin. You took for yourself a couple of bucks. We're going here to fight a battle in Eretz Yisrael. This is not about the world here. We're not concerned about Canada and Australia, New Zealand, the North Pole, and all the animals in the Bronx Zoo. This is not the topic of conversation over here. What are you worked up about? Al-Kain de-Kavalcha, L'Sakein Oilam b'Malchus Shakai, when you're about to die? This is the Nusach HaTzfil of Ochan? Who had the same question about? The B'nai Korach. The B'nai Korach committed a very limited Aveira against rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. And now when they're about to die, or they're on the Pesach of Gehenim, they compose a tefillah about globalism, about V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz. Isn't it very interesting? Ochan and B'nai Korach, their final words, they're talking about the whole world, Yemos HaMashiach, when the aver that they have done is something that appears to be very, very insignificant relative to the whole world. Now, by the way, the Rekeach, I believe, says there's a lot of controversy. You should know if Ochan really composed this. It's a very, very complicated topic, and if it's not the Rekeach, it's others. They make a very nice pshara to satisfy everyone, and they basically say that Yehoshua, together with Ochan, composed it. It was Ochan had a part in this, but it was Yehoshua who drew from it and composed, put the whole thing together. So they want to give Yehoshua credit to the entire thing. And again, Yehoshua is Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, as we said before. Now, Ken, there's one more last part to this puzzle before we wind down, and that is the Nusach of Aleinu. Originally, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola established that it should be said on only one day of the year, Rosh Hashanah. The only Mekor to say Aleinu is from Nusach HaTfilah, from the Anshei, the Mesorah is from the Anshei Knesset HaGedola on the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur, only Rosh Hashanah, on the Yom HaDin. And it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, you understand why. You would say, these are part of the Pesukim of Malchios, okay? Malchios. And obviously, the theme could not be better. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, Kol Boi Olam Oivim Lefonecha Kivnei Morayim. Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei is not just about us. Our Rosh Hashanah really is Chodesh Nisan. Okay? Chodesh Nisan is Chodesh Azel Lochem, Lochem, Rosh Chodesh. Tishrei is a Yom HaDin for the whole world. And that's the theme of Lesakin Oilam B'Malchus Shakai, V'chol B'nei Vosar, V'chulu V'chulu, the whole Nusach. It fits very well into Rosh Hashanah. It was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai who established that it should be said every single day at the end of davening. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a very controversial person, by the way. It's not for now, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when it was given the option of saving the entire Klal Yisrael, when he met with Aspasianus, who was then just a general, who was a lower rung and the Caesar died, the Caesar of Rome died. There were four candidates to become the new Caesar. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, from the four candidates, you will be the mayor. you will be selected. He told them this in advance. And when he was proven right, the Caesar was so happy, he said to him, I'll give you a gift. What do you like? Whatever you want, you can have. And this is something which is haunting Klal Yisrael forever. He could have asked for Yerushalayim. Don't stand down. What would have happened? Rabbi Akiva, it seems, never let up. He says, Meshev Chachamim Ocha. Rabbi Akiva was critical. It's a Farish Gemara. This is the Gemara in Gittin. Everyone talks on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Akiva never forgave him. Meshev Chachamim Ocha. You lost your wisdom. You should have asked for Yerushalayim, the whole Yerushalayim. You asked for a doctor, for a tzaddik. You asked for Yavne, the Chachameha. And you asked for, what do you ask for? Three things. You asked for Yavne, the doctor for a tzaddik, and something else, I forgot. Rabbi Akiva.
I think the
Nasi should be. Right, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, to preserve the Shoshalta, the chain of the Nasi.
Rabbi Gamil.
Rabbi Akiva said, what did you do? He never forgave him. Ask for Yerushalayim, tell him.
Rabbi Yochanan
and Zakkai said, Tofasta merubo loy tofasta, tofasta more tofasta. Rabbi Akiva disagreed. He disagreed. Machlokes, who was right? We'll never know. Who was right? No. Tofasta. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the same one who said, Tofasta merubo loy tofasta. Is a major, major element of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When you had a chance, to fast a little bit later, faster, he says, no, let them destroy Yerushalayim. Unbelievable. It's not to be. I once heard of J.J. Schachter give a 4-hour lecture on this, just on this. This, the whole debate between Rabbi Akiva, it's kind of mind boggling.
That could be also the Machlekes, whether you should go with Barakah or not.
That was later. Bar-Kochba was later. Yeah, it could be today. Okay, and I actually can. This is a whole different topic. To fast a little. It was that same Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that said to fast a little. To fast is responsible for us every single day, we say over 1,000 times a year, make a calculation, 365 days a year, we say this at least 3 times a day, Oleinu. We say over 1,000 times a year, we say Oleinu. It was his decision that we should say Oleinu every single day after davening is over. He's the one that instituted Oleinu should be said. And what do we say when Oleinu, we say Oleinu? V'choyo Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad shmarchad. Yerushalayim now has to be destroyed. He handed the case on Yerushalayim. He didn't want to take it. He didn't want to take advantage. And he, on the other hand, told every single one of us that for 1,000 times a year, make sure you say to Hashem, Al kein nekaveluch Hashem alokeinu, liros mehera b'seferis uzecha lahavir gilabers l'sakim erlam b'malcha shakai. We have to make a little drasha to show that these two things totally zebze. This is like the guilt complex or the antidote to handing over Yerushalayim. Now,
how can we criticize Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? He was personally speaking.
I'm not criticizing him.
No,
Rabbi Akiva.
Even Rabbi Akiva.
He says Meishev Chachamim Ochor. Meishev Chachamim Ocher. Rabbi Akiva, there's no way out to.
All right,
I want to wind down now. Okay, let's wind down now. Now, there's another piece which we're out of time. I want to is that if you take a look at Oleinu, and you take a look, we have to maybe do another, but take a look at Oleinu, and you look at the Nusach of the Tzvila, the first Brach, Uvechein Tein Pachtuch Hashem Lakeinu, Uvechein Tein Kavoid, all the four Uvecheins. The four Uvecheins, the first part, very much, you can even maybe line by line match up here to here. Okay, now, what is the bottom line? The bottom line over here is, L'matzeach livnei karach mizmor, with Oleinu. They're both said in Rosh Hashanah, originally. I mean, not originally, I take that back. Originally was only Oleinu was said in Rosh Hashanah. The Arizal, only not that long ago, added Lamatzeach to be said before we blow Shofar. He added Kisuvim. Okay, it's our minute to say Lamatzeach. That's from the Kisuvim, the Arizal. And we have Oleinu. On Rosh Hashanah, and what is Oleinu? Oleinu is the same exact theme as Lamatzeach Livnei Karach Mizmor. So why do we have both? In the Shemoneh Esrei we say Oleinu. And before we blow Shofar, we dwell 7 times. Shofar, Malchios. It's all the same thing. One is Tershe B'chsav, and one is Tershe B'alpeh. Yoshua is Tershe B'alpeh. Lamatzeach Livnei Karach Mizmor is Torah Shebichsav. When we come on Rosh Hashanah to pray for the end of days, for some reason, I don't have an answer to that question, for some reason the Korach, when they're about to die, they had this gilui about Mosam Mashiach, the end of days. Somehow that relates to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know why. And likewise, Ochan Yoshua, relates to the end of days, but somehow these moments, that's a different topic, but it's very interesting that one captures an element of the end of days, mitoch Torah Shebichsav, and the other captures Yimos HaMashiach mitoch Torah Shebal Peh. And when we on the Yimei Hadin, we pray for the coming of Mashiach, it's critical for us to bring, in fact, both of these elements together. Because you really cannot separate the Torah Shebichsav from the Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah Shebalpeh is rooted in the Torah Shebichsav. And the Torah Shebalpeh, each one provides an element that the other does not, and the whole is greater than the parts. So I don't have any great ideas, but I just want to point out is that on Rosh Hashanah is the Iker Zman to say Oleinu. That's the Makor. That's the only time it was meant to say Oleinu. We, Avichai Mizrachi, expanded for all generations. Every single day. But Rosh Hashanah Zikr. The Arizal contributed a minute that has become the bread and butter. The meat and potatoes of Klal Yisrael is to incorporate Lamatzeach Livnei Karach Mizmor into our Nusach HaTzvila on Rosh Hashanah. they both mamish touch upon the same exact theme. And what is the significance? It's that when you come to yearn for Yemos HaMashiach as a religious Orthodox Jew, you have to bring with you Torah Shevichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. And one is incomplete without the other. You only have the Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh is obviously it's rooted in Torah Shevichsav. There's an element of Torah Shevichsav which is, again, this has to be defined, how the two of them go together. But it's a team. And that team is what contributes to the beauty of the day of Rosh Hashanah, of having both of these things come together. All right, we'll leave it with that.
Shkoyach,
Shkoyach, Shkoyach,
everybody.
Who says it?
Who says something?
We do have an opinion. I'm going to say
Kabbalah. The Rabbi is going to ask me. But I also remember.
Amen.
Talking about Christianity in a label, it says Shehem Mispalim Lahevel Barik. Barik and Yeshu. Right. I don't know where
some
I heard
stiff,
it.
Some stiff. Some stiff. I was
wondering.
Yeah. It's not very today.
Interesting. Doesn't count whether we are particularly being evangelist people. It's what's our mission. And the parallel between, you know, do we emphasize our nationalism or globalism? It's a very interesting parallel.
No?
What is the shoot?
Oh,
I'm saying this would be.
Oh, okay.
Look.